Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our question and answer series, I was answering the 12th question. Let's listen as we finish that question today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. See, Paul is rehearsing his ministry to the Galatian believers that he dearly loved. In verse 17, he speaks of bearing in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The word marks in that verse refers to the battle scars the apostle had received while in faithful service to Jesus Christ. He knew what it meant to suffer for the cause of his Savior, Jesus Christ. However, he tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a promise, okay? If you live godly, you are going to suffer persecution in this life. Now, it may not be as Paul's. It may be just verbal. It may be mental. Maybe in so many other ways. But you'll suffer it. If you're truly faithful to God and living a godly life in this present world, you'll get attacked. And oftentimes, it'll be people named the name of Christ, just like as Paul got attacked by people that were in their local churches, as all those letters to the local churches seem to show. Scriptures reveal that it is impossible to faithfully serve the Lord without opposition and persecution. Why? This is the devil's world. He's the god of this world. So he's going to persecute the truth and those who preach the truth. Nevertheless, we need not to despair or have a bitter attitude as a result of that fact. It's only temporal. We've got eternity ahead of us. We look for the Lord for deliverance from and help through our trials and tribulations. Jesus, he said in John 7, verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because he told them the truth. Boy, they hate that. They hate telling them the truth. I know this particular one that's asked this question hates it when I say, for whosoever will can come. And that's Revelation 22:17, and Romans 10:13, John 3:16, on we could go. The many places of the Lord not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Oh, we could tell them so many places, and they hate that. It goes against what their theories are. So the key to enduring the mark or battle scars that result from faithfully serving Jesus Christ, we see it there in verse 18 of Galatians 6. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. It's God's grace ministering to our spirit that we may have strength in time of need. We need to remember that not only are we saved by God's grace, but we are also called to serve the Lord by his sufficient grace and an enabling grace. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, the word sufficient, the sufficiency is not of myself, it's of the Lord. And it's used there to describe the complete ability of God to provide us with everything that is necessary to serve him. Yes, God's grace is sufficient for us, just as for the Apostle Paul. When we are faithfully serving the Lord and enduring the reproach of others, we're not going to focus on our own sufferings and trials, but rather on God's enabling grace to see us through these difficult times. In John 16:33, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Okay? So you're trusting Jesus. That's what the loving trust does. In 1 Corinthians 15, 57-58, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you see that your labor is not in vain. Yes, they're attacking, but it's not in vain for you. So, no, I will never ask forgiveness from the audience for preaching to them the truth of God. And that only he can save. Look, I've led people to Christ without opening a Bible, but I was quoting from the Bible. I was quoting scriptures and led them to Christ. You're not always able to open a Bible in every situation. You may be working. You may be at hard doing something. You can't just stop and open a Bible, take out a phone and find your Bible app. No. Sometimes as you're working, that's why you should memorize scriptures. Hide God's word in your heart that you can use it to bring a soul to the Savior. And so, my friend, as we see these passages, we conclude here the question and answers for 2017. But, you know, the greatest question that you have to face is, if a man die, will he live again? And the answer is yes. He's either going to live in heaven or he's going to live in hell. The Bible tells us in Acts 4:12 that there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. My friend, there is a hell. There is a judgment. Every sin you ever have or ever will commit is written down. It is noted. It can only be paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's willing for you to be saved. He says, whosoever will, in Revelation 22:17, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. He wants you to be saved. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. The wages, what we've earned, the wages, what we have come to us of sin, didn't say big sin, a whole lot of sin or certain kind of sin, the wages of sin is death. Final, complete separation from God forever in the eternal lake of fire, where you don't cease to exist, where you never, never escape, where there's no hope, where you're tormented day and night forever. See, you may not have the capacity to understand why God would do that, but that means you don't understand his holiness. But that also shows why that when he does resurrect those that have been saved and received him, he gives them a new body with that new nature that shall never sin again and never have that old nature again. So, my friend, the wages of sin is death, and that is grim news. But that's not the way the verse ends. The rest of the verse says, but the gift, not what we earn, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How? Well, Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for every sin you ever have or ever will commit. 3 days later, he rose up from the dead. He did that for you. That's why Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That is the righteousness of Jesus Christ as making you accept. That's why Ephesians 1:6 says that we are accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in Christ, not of ourselves, not by our righteousness. That's why the apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:9, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of Christ. You know, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever, now whosoever includes you and includes me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, you know, I believe that Jesus died for me. Well, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. I believe in God. Well, the devils believe that. But you see, this is entering a personal relationship with the Lord where he is Savior, he is God, he is the head, and you are submitted. You're his. And you do this just like a marriage. You give your word. He's already given his word that if you would say yes, that he would accept you. You know, in marriage, there are some good marriages. There are some average, and then there's bad. But they're still married, better than the ones that just move in and live together. And you know, there are good Christians, average and not good, but that's better than going to hell. You see, the lowest place in heaven is a billion times better than the best place in hell. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. He wants to save you. But you've got to open your heart to him and invite him in to save you, to cleanse you of your sin, to take its penalty and its power from you, and to give you everlasting life. And if you call upon him, he'll do it. Right now, I'm going to form a prayer. The prayer that I form would only be words if you didn't mean it. But if you mean it, would you right now, right where you are, pray and ask the Lord to save you? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for all my sin I ever have or ever will commit. I believe he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose bodily from the grave. I right now invite Jesus Christ into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, would you write us and let us know? Our announcer will be giving you our physical address as well as our web address by which you may email us through that web address. Here it is, Christmas time. What gift better could you give to Jesus Christ and to give him your life? Yes, you may be giving him an old sinner's life, but he gave you his perfect life that you might have everlasting life. What a great thing that is. And I hope that you will begin to grow in your new Christian life if you just prayed. We have on our website, if you go to our website at www.centralbaptistocala.org, that's CentralBaptistOcala.org. You'll go there, and on that front page, you'll see on the left-hand column, booklets by Dr. Andy Bloom. And you click onto there. There are about 8 or 9 booklets, I believe, there that I've written. And one of those, it's called Building Blocks, and they'll tell you how to start in this new Christian life, how to get more out of your Bible reading, what kind of a church you ought to go to. I mean, so many things, what you ought to do, and I believe it'll be a big help to you. I want to thank you today for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. Please ask your friends to listen, because that's how the Lamp and Light grows. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm